Hi, New Covenant family and friends, far and near. This is Ron Simpkins. I'm privileged to share the teaching today. I pray that it blesses you. My theme for today is Jesus and Jesus God are with us in the stormy times. Let me begin with a disclaimer. I'm not a, quote, Democrat, nor am I a, quote, Republican. I don't trust either party very much. I haven't identified with either party for at least the last 50 years of my life. So please don't hear what I'm going to say as partisan to either of the political parties in this U.S. politics right now. I do want to be partisan as I know how to be, to one kingdom, the kingdom of God, both as it is right now among us, and also to the future forever kingdom of God, the one that's going to come when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of God forever. We seem to be living in a time when some rather large storms are rising across our nation and across the world. I don't expect too many of you would argue with that analysis. And I'm certain that some of you who are listening are experiencing what feel like large storms in your personal lives as well. Sometimes the Old Testament writers use physical storms on land and in water as images for understanding intense and scary times, times that are culturally and politically very scary. They often also use earthquake imagery to depict scary times. And earthquakes, especially those under the oceans, are often accompanied by major storms, even by typhoons, hurricanes, tsunamis. Somewhat to my surprise, as I sifted through a number of the passages in the Hebrew Bible, almost all of the passages that I found presented these stormy times not as times that God's absent, but as God allowing the judgment that we humans deserve for how we treat one another, how we treat the creation, how we treat the Creator. These storms are often signs of God withdrawing God's protection and letting the chaos begin to reappear that reigned before God ordered and structured the creation. In these Old Testament passages, Yahweh is not tame, certainly not too weak to respond. Many progressive friends tend to make God that way. Instead, these passages present a very angry God, angry at what humans are doing to one another, to God's creation, and to the Creator God. And because of that anger, God is withdrawing some of God's protective blessings, the things that hold things together. On the other hand, unlike many Christian conservatives, Christian nationalists, and Christians who are white privilege-oriented in their doctrines and their actions, because of all that, they tend to interpret the Bible into the very misguided lenses. The storms described in the Bible often are exactly the opposite of that. They're because of the nationalistic ways of God's people, using religion and God talk to further their own goals and their own privileges. It made God angry. So God allows the storms, but we humans cause God to decide that God has to allow this by withdrawing protection. Genesis 1 reminds us that chaos is underneath all the creation. God organized it, systematized it, and judgment comes when we push God into having to withdraw the blessings of sustaining that order, the order that God created to bless us. Now, like the prophets, we're free to ask God to restrain the storms, to wait a little longer to see if people will repent, to be gentler than we deserve, but that may or may not occur based on a much bigger picture. A bigger picture that we're unable to see. Only God can see that bigger picture. I want to give three examples from those Old Testament passages that use storm images to describe God beginning to withdraw God's protection from our human cultures. Psalm 29, 3 through 11 reads like this. Its theme is, let's hear the voice of Yahweh in the storm. quote, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strip, and the strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give us strength. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Shalom." The second passage is from Jeremiah 23:16-20. Jeremiah is seen throughout his book, seems to be someday, but probably right now, not right now, you will understand why God allows the storms. Here's what Jeremiah says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They're deluding you. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise the word of the Lord, oh, it will be well with you. And to all who stubbornly follow their own stubborn hearts, they say, no calamity shall come on you. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord so as to see and to hear his word? Who's given heed to the Lord's word so to proclaim it? Look, the storm of the Lord, wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until the Lord has executed and accomplished the intents of his mind. In the latter days, you'll understand it clearly." Psalm 46:1-3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, the mountains shake right into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, we will not fear. While I was looking at all these passages, I was somewhat amused thinking about in Jonah chapter 1, even when Jonah wants God to let the storm destroy him, God won't let him be destroyed by it. But that's another story for another time. So there are two New Testament passages about storms, about Jesus and Jesus' followers, that I'd like to think about with you and interact with along that Old Testament pattern that we were just talking about. They're physical storms that are described in these narratives, but they're good images for the stormy turmoils of our time and our lives. The first one is in Mark 4, verses 35-41. Before I read the first passage, though, I want you to listen with me to one of my favorite singers. It's Liz Weiss. I find her interaction with this text as a black woman during these troubling times to be powerful and haunting. Here she is singing, "Wake Up, Jesus."
Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up and calm this raging sea? Jesus, when you gonna wake up? When you gonna wake up? How can you sleep when we're in need? Just one word from the Maker, all the ways be still. Just one touch from the healer, and all will be made well. So Jesus, when you're gonna wake up, when you're gonna wake up and calm this raging sea. Jesus, when you gonna wake up, when you gonna wake up, how can you sleep when we're in need? Just one word from the Maker, and all the ways will be made still. Just one touch from the Healer, all will be made well. Just one word from the Maker, and all the ways will be made still. Just one touch from the Healer, and all will be made well. So Jesus, when you're gonna, when you're gonna wake up and calm this raging sea. Jesus, when you're gonna wake up, when you're gonna wake up, how can you sleep when we're in need? So won't you rise?
As I read Mark 4, 35 through 51, I'm going to read it as a scholar, R.T. France, suggested it be read. He says we need to emphasize the present tenses in order that we can really catch Mark's sense of you're right there as the story is being told with its full force. So here is Mark 4, 35 to 51. That day, as evening came, Jesus is saying to his disciples, "So let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they're taking Jesus along since he's already in the boat. A huge squall is coming up, and the waves keep breaking over the boat so that it's nearly swamping out. Jesus is in the stern still, and he's sleeping on a cushion. The disciples are waking him and saying to him, "Rabbi, don't you care? We're drowning." So he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Shut up and be quiet." And the wind died down, and it was very calm. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no trust?" And they were exceedingly terrified and asked each other, "Who is this, that even the wind and the waves are obeying him?" I see at least three important challenges for us that I take from this event. First one, and I don't like this reality. I don't expect you to either. But my guess is you've experienced it. The reality we don't like is this, that it's to be expected as followers of Jesus, that we will at times feel like Jesus is asleep. And if we're authentic about our feelings and our fears, we'll probably cry out to Jesus to wake up. Also, like several psalmists in the Old Testament, We may cry out to Jesus God, saying, "Are you sleeping? Please wake up. We need you to save us." So that reality, that we're likely to sometimes feel like God, Jesus God, and Jesus himself are asleep. We need to wake them up. That's why I love the song. But a second very important challenge is in the way Jesus responded. He did save them when they said, "Wake up, Jesus, don't you care about us?" But he also seemed to say in his response, "You need to wake up. Don't you understand? This boat's not going down when I'm in it." So let's remember, yep, the storms of life are very real, but Jesus will act before we go down completely and are completely lost in the storms of life. The storms come, sometimes in our society, sometimes throughout our world, sometimes in our personal life. The storms beat on us, we won't like it, but Jesus promises and Jesus demonstrated that his God will not let us go down to destruction so long as Jesus is in our boat of life with us. We aren't going to be lost forever in the human history, lost forever at the sea in the tumults of the storms of our times. Third, and I want to be certain that my last point's not misunderstood. I don't mean, although I sometimes hear Christians talk this way, I don't mean that God will never allow the storms to end my life or yours or the life of someone you love dearly in this present age. I learned that from Jesus' own life and his relationship with God. Yes, God often delivered Jesus in the storms of life during his ministry. But finally, there came that moment when Jesus prayed during a political and religious tsunami, quote, "If possible, let this pass," end of quote. But this time, God did not choose to deliver him from the storm. God chose to allow the storm to destroy him. And then God delivered him from the storm. If God allowed this in Jesus' life, we must reckon with the reality that there can be a time when that's what the storms will do in our life as they crash on us and crush us. And it won't mean we weren't being faithful. Jesus certainly was. It will mean God will deliver us this time by going through the destruction of the storm and finding that God gives us life on the other side. Death and destruction were not the last word in Jesus' life, and God promises it won't be the last word in our lives either, as long as we stay in the boat of life with Jesus. In fact, God promises renewal even after total destruction. That's so wonderful that it's even difficult to imagine. Resurrection of our individual life into completion in the image of God. And in addition, renewal of society into God's forever family. And in addition, renewal of the entire creation as new heavens and new earth. What a promise. That's God's covenant promise to us. The storms are never going to have the last word. The second passage involving storms, Jesus God, Jesus, and the disciples is in Mark 6, 45 through 52. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After saying farewell to the crowd, he went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out at sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came toward them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking out on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. for they all saw him, and they were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them, and he said, "Take heart, it's I. Don't be afraid." Interestingly, Matthew adds another part to this event, and it goes like this. Matthew 14:28-32. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You trust so little. Why did you doubt?" They got in the boat, and the wind ceased. So let me emphasize again. Storms do come, even to those who have been living and working closely with Jesus. Sometimes I hear Christians talk as though trusting God means that what God has done for us in Jesus is going to keep us from any storms in life. Nothing could be further from the claims of scriptures. Nothing could be further from the way we experience real life. Yes, sometimes God saves us from storms completely and we don't go through them, but more often God promises to be with us and bring us through them. Second, as in this event, Jesus may even intend to leave us to work our way through the storm a bit longer, maybe quite a bit longer, than we're comfortable with. And sometimes, in the midst of these stormy times, we might not sense his presence with us at all. There have certainly been times in my life when the storms were intense, and I didn't seem to be able to experience either the presence of Jesus God or Jesus with me at all. Yes, when I look back, I can see I wasn't alone, that I was being cared for. But at the time, not so. Third, I think it's very important to notice that Peter was fine as long as he was looking toward Jesus. But when he just got his eyes riveted on the storm, he started to sink. I find the same thing to be true about most problems in life. If I keep my eyes on the heavens, keep my eyes turned toward the trust that I want to have in God, Jesus God, and in Jesus, I can handle the problems. If I just get fixated on the problems, they tend to handle me. Fourth, Jesus may ask us to come and walk on the stormy waters with him and trust that we won't be lost forever at sea. Yeah, that's scary. But Jesus invites us to trust the God who sustains Jesus as he walks on the stormy waters and to walk on those waters with him. What I'm saying is, we can't have a relationship with Jesus God or with Jesus that doesn't involve taking risks. Isn't it true that all relationships, if they're going to get deeper, ultimately make us take some risks? Trusting one another means taking risks. Trusting God means taking risks. Trusting what God's done through Jesus means taking risks. And this risk-taking is part of relationships deepening with Jesus God, with Jesus, and with one another. So, as we see storms rising, yes, it can be scary. But God promises to be with us. Would you pray with me in conclusion? God and Father of our Lord Jesus the Messiah, we ask you to help us trust that you are with us in the storms. Storms that we're experiencing and that might appear even becoming worse and worse rather than better and better in the days ahead. Help us trust that no storm that you allow is too big for you to bring us through intact and into your future. Thank you for showing us the truth of that statement by raising Jesus from death. Thank you for being in our lives. Help us love faith, live faith, not fear. Help us live trust, not terror. Please speak your peace, your shalom, to our hearts. Please be with us when you encourage us to take risks, to walk on the water in the stormy waters with Jesus. And please keep reminding us that new creation, not destruction, is your covenant with us forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.